Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This afternoon, we're doing a bit of a deep dive, a continuation, though a pivot from yesterday's discussion about Trump's weakness. With the conclusion being he's acting like a tin pot dictator, a king, because he can't govern like a president in a democracy. We're going to see maybe a government shutdown because he won't do anything to woo a single Democratic vote on pretty much anything. You see the Trump administration gearing up, priming the electorate for a showdown with what should be a co-equal branch of government, the judiciary. What is the predicate to that showdown? Power grabs that are clearly unconstitutional, 45 lawsuits and counting, 8 injunctions and counting, not including the injunctions stopping the billionaire overlord and his minions from mucking about in our government with nearly free reign, no standards, and no one watching the so-called watchers. Today's deep dive is looking at the historical analogies, the historical lessons of wannabe dictators that do become authoritarians, and the necessity of the relationship with the billionaire overlords of their time, the oligarchs. I'm borrowing extensively from the work of historian Timothy Rybak. He is the director of the Institute for Historical Justice and Reconciliation in The Hague. And he is the author of many books on Hitler's Germany, most recently one titled Takeover, Hitler's Final Rise to Power, because Hitler's final rise to power, the dismantling of Germany's government, bears striking, almost eerily similar earmarks of Trump's second rise to power. Join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac, sir, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I'd have to say, as I've said before, is that I think a good deal of MAGA is accepting the whole fact of, you know, they want a strongman leader. And I think it is, you know, kind of echoing a lot of what we saw in the antebellum South of the Southern thinkers. And some of them actually wrote that it was a, that the Confederacy was a reformation against something that they thought considered gone mad. And it was a protest against the doctrines of natural liberty, human equality, and the social contract as taught by the, you know, the sages, that the, you know, the men of the Enlightenment, the, a lot of the founders found ideas from, yeah, that to how to reform our government, and that these guys want to roll all that back. They think we should be led by, because, and what is remarkable to me is that none of these guys actually see the dangers of being in this little oligarchy, because what does it take, you know, over in Russia? I mean, if somebody falls out of favor of, with Donald Trump, they fall out of a window, or they, you know, get some poison administered to them. And
he takes all their stuff, right? Like, that's the other piece of this. Thanks so much, Mark. What you also see in historical analogs, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this today, but I think it's worthy of returning to, so thanks for triggering this thought, Mark, is that the people in these countries, in these historical moments, have to invite the dictator in. They have to ultimately support that overthrow. And generally speaking, those moments where dictators have been able to forge these symbiotic relationships with the billionaire overlords of their day, the oligarchs, has been made possible, has been operationalized then by the regular man and woman on the street. But the emotional precondition, the priming that has to be there, is typically fear and resentment. And that fear and resentment gets harnessed and misdirected away from the dictator, away from the billionaire overlords, and it gets directed at vulnerable groups, scapegoats. And we see this again and again and again. Because when we are in a state of fear, our brain will seek the easiest off-ramp to assuage our fear. And the groups that have been over millennia scapegoated for the purposes of dictators and the oligarchs that support them are often the most weak, historically marginalized, and oppressed groups among us. Because it simply doesn't track that historically marginalized groups that have never had their hands on the reign of power or controlled the productive capacity of this country or any other are somehow magically the ones who are affecting all of the negative things that the dictator is telling you that we need to fix by further oppressing, by further suppressing, by further exploiting these groups. So when we come back after the top of the hour, we're going to take care of a little business. You're going to hear news, weather, and sports, but you're not going to want to go anywhere because I'm going to walk you through Timothy Ryback's analysis of how Hitler forged his relationships with the oligarchs of the time back in the early 30s and late 20s in Germany, and how that led to Hitler's rise. And you can assess for yourself if that says something about our current moment. And perhaps the warning that it should be sounding, not just for us regular folks, but also to the billionaire overlords. And I'm talking to you, Elon Musk. So keep it locked right here, folks. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with more in just a moment.